Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and this week we bring you a musical comedy detective. Dick Powell stars as Richard Diamond, private detective. The show ran from 1949 to 1952, with some reruns in 1953. Dick Powell plays Richard Diamond, and often there is a song at the end of the show. Blake Edwards, famous for directing Breakfast at Tiffany's and Victor Victoria, was a writer on the show who later became a producer on Richard Diamond, Private Detective. The episode you are about to hear involves a séance, and be sure to listen all the way to the end when Dick Powell sings Don't Blame Me. Enjoy Richard Diamond, Private Detective, The Van Dyke Séance Case, first broadcast September 10th, 1949 on NBC.
Here is another in NBC's great parade of new shows. Now, Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, private detective.
Hello there, this is Diamond. I'm a private detective. And as long as I've been in this business, I've found only four things that really make this racket worthwhile. Women, money, women, and more money. Don't misunderstand me, I've got other habits too. I drink lots of milk, go to the fights, dance meanest rumba west of Ebbets Field, and write fan letters to June Allison. But no matter how you slice it up, it still boils down to the same ghastly facts. To drink the gallons of milk, you've got to have loot. To go to the fights, you've still got to have it. But you add a little something, or a big something, as the case may be. That's right, a woman. Then if you're going dancing, you like to go to a nice place. Nice place? That's an 8x10 dance floor supported by bodies of patrons who couldn't pay the $12 minimum. So now you get into more money, and there you are. Women, money, more women, and more money. About the fan letters to June Allison? Oh, who knows? She never writes back anyway. To show you how I make this money that gets me into so much trouble, let me tell you about a case I got mixed up in. It all started last week during a seance.
Quiet, please, quiet. Now, if you will please place your hands on the table, Mrs. Van Dyke. Lightly, just the fingers touching.
Mr. Langley, I'm so excited.
Please, Mrs. Van Dyke. Professor must have complete silence.
Oh, I'm sorry, but what's he doing?
He's going into his trance.
Dr. Langley.
He's contacted the outer circle.
I feel your presence. Who are you?
Doctor, that voice is calling me.
Not too loud. You'll break the contact.
But Lynn is my first name.
Listen.
Spirit, speak again. Who are you?
I am Lynn Van Dyke.
That's Mother.
Mrs. Van Dyke, you must relax. If you continue to disturb the contact, your mother will leave.
I'm tired.
Oh, Spirit, I feel that you have a message for someone in this room. Spirit, have you such a message? Then speak.
My
love. Oh. Yes, Mother?
You are in grave danger. Guard yourself. Rely on Dr. Langley. He will help.
Yes, Mother. What else? Mother?
Contact has been broken. The mother will not return again today.
Will I be able to speak with her again, Professor? I must speak with her again. She said I was in some kind of danger.
If you will return here tomorrow, Mrs. Van Dyke.
Mother said to rely on you, Doctor. I intend to.
I assure you, your confidence will be rewarded, Mrs. Van Dyke. In the meantime, I suggest you go home and get some rest.
Yes, this experience has been rather trying. Goodbye, Professor. I shall see you tomorrow.
Until tomorrow, dear lady.
Coming, Doctor?
I wish to consult with the professor for a moment. I'll be right along.
Very well, Doctor. I'll wait in the car. Goodbye again, Professor, and bless you.
Goodbye, And bless you, you old goat.
Take it easy. We'll issue it out the front door.
Okay. Now look, Langley, when are we going to pull the job? I'm getting tired of drumming up banshees for old money bags. Let's get those jewels.
Look, tomorrow her mother is going to tell her that someone is after her precious jewel collection.
Tell her?
She'll lock him up in Fort Knox if that happens.
Oh, I'm surprised at you, Professor.
What if her dear old departed mother tells her to leave them with me for safekeeping?
I get it. By the time she gets wise, we'll be in Mexico.
Right. I'll see you tomorrow morning before Van Dyke gets here. We'll plan what we want the voice to say. And for Pete's sake, tell that old witch to sound like a ghost for a change. She came on today like Apple Mary with a hangover.
That's right. Come on in, but watch the clothesline.
Oh, you've been washing. Aren't these a little loud?
You should stop around when I'm doing socks.
My name is Van Dyke, Mr. Diamond. Nancy Van Dyke.
Miss?
Mm-hmm.
Well, bully for our side. What can I do for you, Miss Van Dyke?
I'm worried about my aunt, Mr. Diamond.
Why? Is she playing shortstop for Brooklyn?
I don't think I understand that.
You're not alone, but I have to keep trying. Why are you worried about your aunt, Miss Van Dyke?
Well, lately she's been seeing a man who calls himself Dr. Langley.
Uh-huh. Are you of the Long Island Van Dykes?
We used to live on Long Island. Why?
Well, if you're the same family, you say piggy bank instead of U.S. Mint.
We are quite wealthy.
Uh-huh. That's like saying Scarface had a gun collection. You think this Dr. Langley is after your aunt's money, is that it?
Yes. He's been taking her to see a clairvoyant, and she claims that he produced her dead mother and that she talked with her.
Maybe she's been getting tips on the market.
My aunt says that this apparition, or whatever it is, warned her of impending danger.
What's the medium's name?
He calls himself Professor Leonardo.
Uh-huh. What else did the ghost have to say?
Well, she said, or it said, to trust Dr. Langley, and that's exactly what my aunt started to do. She even consults him on matters of business. He's completely sold her on this phony Professor Leonardo, and unless I miss my guess, he's got a wandering eye for her jewelry collection. She had it out, and she was showing it to him last evening.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to prove that this Dr. Langley and the professor are charlatans.
Well, in my business, charlatan is a nice word. These guys are either legit or phony. So if you want me to find out, the fee is $100 a day in expenses.
Well, I'll give you a retainer. Is $200 all right?
Have you ever seen $200 that wasn't? What's your aunt's name and address?
Mrs. Myrna Van Dyke, 326 Park Avenue. There's your $200, Mr. Diamond.
Thank you.
If you prove these men are phonies, please report it to my aunt. Then stop by my place and I'll pay you the rest of your fee. 741 Madison Avenue?
Miss Van Dyke, did you ever model bathing suits?
No, Mr. Diamond, but I have a very nice one. I got it in the south of France last season. I'll show it to you sometime.
I hope it won't be on a hanger. Goodbye, Miss Van Dyke. Well, I had 200 fat clams in my little hot hand and an assignment that didn't look like it was going to be too tough to crack. I needed some information on the professor and the doctor, so I headed for the 5th Precinct Police Station and Walt Levinson's office.
Yeah, what do you want, Shamus?
Why, Sergeant Otis, what would the lieutenant say when he finds your big feet all over his desk?
He won't say nothing. He ain't here.
Well, how'd you ever figure that out? Where is he?
Out of town.
Doing what?
Doing his vacation, that's what.
Don't tell me he left you in charge.
Yeah. What's the matter with that?
If you've got a few days, I'll tell you about it. Leaving you in charge of homicide is like stopping a leaky faucet with bubble gum.
I ain't in charge of homicide, wise guy, but I could do it if I had to. He just asked me to watch his office and take the call.
He'd get better results with a parrot. Well, I want some information, Sergeant. Who do I see?
Me.
I could see more in a barrel of mud.
Now, you better lay off, Gumshoe. I got instructions to throw you out if you get out of line.
Oh, Sergeant, it's nothing personal. You've got beautiful eyes and... Oh, I love all three of them. It's just that you're obnoxious.
Well, okay. But you start calling me any nasty names and you go out of here, I'm...
Sergeant.
Well, you do. Now, what do you want?
I want your file on bunkoitis.
Okay. You come look up some of your relatives?
Oh, that was a real gaiter snapper, Sergeant.
Yeah, here's the file.
You can do me one more favor. Look up Professor Leonardo. He's a spiritualist.
Oh, drunk, huh? Well, I'll get the file.
Oh, no, Sergeant. In the phone book. He's like a fortune teller.
Oh, one of them guys.
That's right. Wow.
Huh, well, well.
Find something?
Yeah, I was looking for this guy, too.
Let's see. Dr. Otto Langley. It is Dr. Fred Bishop. It is Dr. Leopold Karnowski. Hey, this guy's been busy. Two convictions, bunko artist. According to this, the guy goes after old dames and gives them a good fleecing.
You're positively brilliant, Sergeant.
Ah, it ain't nothing.
It is when you do it. Did you find the phone number of the professor?
Yeah, right here. Professor Leonardo Fortune Teller and Clairvoyant. Okay.
Oh, want to use the phone?
Sure. Only leave a nickel.
I wish I had your nose full of them.
Leonardo's Psychic Sanctuary.
My name's Appleknocker, Harold Appleknocker. I'd like to make an appointment with Professor Leonardo.
Just what seems to be your problem?
Well, you see, it's like this. I have a 1,000-acre hog ranch in Kentucky, and last week my brother only got lit up on juniper juice and fell in the water. It was a pretty deep one, and he done drowned. I was wondering if you could fix it so I could talk with him.
Who recommended you to us?
Ain't nobody recommended nothing. I just looked it up in the phone book.
Well, the professor is rather busy, and his time is expensive, I'm afraid.
Oh, shuckins. I ain't worried about money or nothing. I make $40,000 a year just off in the hogs, not to mention the still I got going in back on the hills.
Still?
Yeah, I got it camouflaged. Only time a revenue ever got suspicious was when he saw the moon on the door. It was backwards.
The price is $50 a reading and $100 if the professor is able to contact your brother.
Fine. I'm going to be busy at the stockyards this afternoon, and I'd like to drop around this evening if I could.
How would 8 o'clock be?
Just dandy.
Goodbye, then, Mr. Appleknocker.
Bye, you all.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm going to have my fortune told, Sergeant. If you want to come along, you can put your shoes if you want to. Come on.
You're nuts.
Oh, you're just lonesome. Bye, y'all.
I left the 5th Precinct and headed for 975 Park Avenue. The way the case looked to date, I was going to be working that night, and my lovely redhead would be unhappy if she had to sit home. Sometimes you get a case that's fun, and this looked like one of those times, so I decided to take Helen with me to Professor Leonardo's.
Rick, a fortune teller?
Yeah, he brings the dead back, too. Want to go?
If he doesn't dig up some of your old jokes.
Oh, you are a vicious female. Just for that, old Harold Appleknocker is going to show up alone.
Harold Appleknocker?
Yep, raise hogs. You know, this little piggy went to market.
Rick, that tickles.
Don't you and Sergeant Otis ever wear shoes?
Oh, I like to run around in my bare feet. It's hot.
Oh, it's only 90. What would you do on the Sahara? Don't answer that.
What time are we due at the spook parlor?
Oh, 8 o'clock. That's 2 hours. In the meantime, let's start a little seance of our own. First, you start by holding hands.
Rick. Yes. Oh, are you Mr. Appleknocker?
Oh, yep, that's me, and this here's my girl, Lilibell.
Howdy.
Yes. Well, won't you come in? Professor Leonardo isn't back yet, but if you'll just be seated in here, he should be in at any moment.
Well, just look at this here room. What are all them figures all over the wall?
Those are the signs of the zodiac.
Hey, look at that, Harold. That's a goat.
Well, so it is. Bless my little pointed head. Used to raise goats, too, along with the hogs.
That's the professor now. Good evening, Professor.
Good evening. Oh, this must be Mr. Applesucker.
Appleknocker, Professor. And this here's my girl.
Lulu Bell.
That's right.
Howdy.
Yes. Well, Mr. Appleknocker, I understand you want me to contact your dear departed brother.
Well, he wasn't so dear, but he sure done departed. Fell in a pig waller.
Of course. Now, if you just take these chairs around this table...
Where do you want them to go?
No. I mean, sit in them. You right here, Mr. Appleknocker, and you right next to him,
Lulabelle.
Yes, Lulabelle.
Howdy.
Yes, howdy. I mean, if you please, turn off the lights.
Yes, Professor.
Hey, Lulabelle.
Yeah?
This is fun, ain't it?
Yeah.
Now, I must have complete silence, please. Did you laugh, Miss,
Lulabelle?
Yes. Lulabelle.
Howdy.
Never mind. Now, silence, please. I'm going into a trance.
I call to the world beyond. I wish to speak to the spirit of Oni Applehanger.
The Apple Knocker.
Correction, the name is Apple Knocker.
Lulabelle.
Howdy.
I feel your presence. Who are you, spirit? Speak.
I'm Oni Applehanger.
Well, Oni, how the deuce are you?
Please, you break the contact.
Well, ain't it okay if I ask him a few questions?
It's not the usual procedure, but we seem to be establishing a precedent tonight. Go ahead.
Hey, Oni, you remember Lulabelle, don't you?
Yeah, howdy, Lulabelle.
I'm very happy to make your acquaintance again, Oni.
Mr. Applehanger, you must not laugh at the spirits.
Applehanger.
Applehanger?
Lulabelle.
Yes, yes, I know.
Howdy.
Now, wait just a moment. What's going on here? Turn on the light.
What's the matter?
These two people are laughing.
Oh, I'm sorry, Professor. But I think you've been taken for that well-known ride.
You mean this is some kind of a practical joke?
I don't know how practical it is, but it sure got a laugh.
Professor, that accent.
Yeah, they went out when poor Oni jumped up from the pig waller.
Oh, I see. Well, look here, young man. I don't see the humor, and it's going to cost you just $100 for this laugh.
Oh, it is, huh?
Yes, or you're going to walk out of here on crutches.
That's the funniest thing you said all night.
What do you want, anyway?
I just wanted to find out how phony you were. Ah, you ought to be ashamed taking advantage of old ladies like Mrs. Van Dyke.
Professor.
Shut up. Who are you?
The name's Diamond. Look me up sometime. I'm in the phone book under the detectives. Come on, Ellen. I've got to go see the old girl and wise her up to this louse. Helen and I left the professor and his witch and went out on the street. I hailed a cab and put Helen in it and sent her home to wait for me. 20 minutes later, I was ringing the doorbell of the Van Dyke residence. I stopped ringing and tried my knuckles, and that's when I noticed that the door was ajar. I pushed it open and walked in. I stopped cold in my tracks. The hair on my neck jumped off and hid in the corner. Lying on the bed was what looked like a body. I couldn't tell because it was covered with a sheet. I was sure of one thing. Whatever it was bleeding all over the place. And the first word that came to my mind was murder. I pulled the sheet back and took a look at what could only have been Mrs. Myrna Van Dyke. She was about 60 and she was wearing a quilted house coat. She didn't have to worry about trying to button it because it was pinned together at the neck with a long knife.
Well, Diamond, you sure can dig him up, can't you?
Huh? Oh, Otis, how did you get here?
After you left the station, I called the lieutenant and told him you'd been in and he was acting screwy. He told me to tell you. Now I'm glad I did.
Oh, mess, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, stabbing through. Looks like she was getting ready for bed. That's a towel around her head, ain't it?
Could be her hair, but I doubt it. It says Adams Hotel on it.
Let's take a look around.
Oh, hey, get a load of this.
What?
Over here on the dressing table.
Hey, ain't that a wig?
It sure is. I want to look at the body again.
You can't do that. You ain't supposed to touch anything.
I'm just taking off this towel. Well.
She's bald.
Yep, nearly. Otis. Check on Professor Leonardo and Dr. Langley.
They the guys you picked out of the Rogues Gallery this morning?
Yeah.
I already did. The doc lives on Charles Street, apartment 209.
You mean you did all that by your little lonesome?
Well, when I talked to the lieutenant, he told me to, just in case.
You continually amaze me, Sergeant.
Yeah.
Now call the wagon and get the coroner over here. Then get some of the boys to pick up the phony professor.
Where are you going?
Over to the good doctor's house. The body's been dead about an hour. That would make it between 7 and 8. Now, you see if the professor's got an alibi, and I'll check back here.
Hey, I don't know whether I'll let you go or not.
Sergeant?
Yeah?
Bye. I went out and grabbed another cab for Charles Street. It was dark out, and the heavy fog was rolling in and staking a claim on the city. By the time I reached the doctor's, it was thick enough to be sliced up and sold in large economy cartons. The doc didn't answer my knock, so I went in anyway. I stumbled into a little two-room joint that looked like a chick sales architectural achievement. The doctor was not home, and neither were his clothes and toothbrush, so I started casing. I tore the place apart and came up with a big fat zero, but that was before I looked in the waste paper basket. Among the trash, I found a rental bill for a hangar and an airplane at the flyaway airport on Long Island. I grabbed the phone and called Sergeant Otis.
Yeah?
Otis, this is Diamond.
Oh, for now. You're right at time of death.
Yes, sir.
We sent a car over to pick him up, but he skipped. We got some Dane, though, and she told us that the prof was giving one of them sea answers from 7 to 8.
Did you check it?
Yeah, and you was.
Good. Now check and see who gets the dead woman's money in the event of her death.
Well, how am I going to find a lawyer this time of night?
Just find him and meet me at the Flyaway Airport on Long Island.
Okay. Did you get the doctor?
That's what I'm going to do now. And if this fog keeps up, I've still got a good chance. Sometimes a case starts off like a party and ends up like a funeral. This was one of those times, and when it happens, you're never really prepared for it, so you've got to work fast. I used my last $10, besides the $200 at the airport, and the fuck to get a sock, but I finally found a row of hangers and started looking. The last hanger, when I spotted it, was sitting on the strip, and as I moved nearer, I could see the man.
Who's that? Who is that?
I got a gun out, Doctor, so just stand the way you are.
Who are you? What do you want?
I want that little suitcase you've got. I want to take you back to the police.
Police? Oh, what on earth for?
Mrs. Van Dyke is dead, been murdered.
Oh.
Oh, now, come on, stop that.
Well, I know nothing about the killing. I swear I had nothing to do with it.
What's in that suitcase?
Why, just some clothes.
Not the Van Dyke collection of jewels?
Of course not. What would I want with them?
Mrs. Nancy Van Dyke seemed to think you did.
Oh, that's absurd. Here, you can look at the bag if you like, sir.
Well, I'd like. Let's take a walk over here where we can see some light.
If you insist.
Where were you between 7 and 8 this evening, Doctor?
Why, I was at home.
Ah, now, you're a two-time loser. If you're lying, they'll wash your mouth for 20 years.
You know about my record, do you?
Looked it up this afternoon.
Well, I suppose I may as well tell you. I wasn't home until nearly 8.
Where were you?
Mrs. Van Dyke's apartment. I was supposed to put her jewels in the downstairs vault.
What happened?
She was dead when I got there.
You sure she was dead?
Yes. Lying on the bed under a sheet. Pulled it back so she'd been stabbed in the throat. I left, packed, came out here. I knew I'd be accused, but I didn't do it.
Hold it. Here's the light. Well, if the jewels are in this bag, you're going to be in a tough spot.
You're welcome to look.
Thanks, Lord.
Oh!
Whatever it was, it caught me across the back of the head, and I went down like a dead palm tree in a hurricane. It wasn't the doctor who had lowered the boom, but someone who had sneaked up in the fog and gotten around behind me. I wasn't knocked out, and I could still hear things, so I just lay there and listened.
Oh, thank goodness you came along. He was going to take me to the police because someone had killed Mrs. Van Dyke and stolen her jewels. He thought I had them. What are you doing? No! No! No!
I rolled over and looked at the doctor. He was very dead. I got up as fast as I could and started after the killer, but in that fog, it was like looking for a hangnail in a mine shaft. I went into one hangar after another, and I guess if you keep after it long enough, sometimes you get lucky. I went into the last hangar and stopped to listen. Okay, you, come on out. If I have to come in after you, it's going to be the hard way. Well, you're the boss. Now, why don't you stop it? You can't see me any better than I can see you, but I've got the door covered. Come on out. If I guess right, that's one big sergeant, and he's so stupid he's allowed to shoot you.
Diamond! Diamond, where are you?
In here, Otis. Watch your step. We're playing cops and robbers.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? Oh, stop!
You all right, Otis?
Yeah, but this cement's hard.
Crawl over here.
Okay. Hey, who's shooting?
Well, one of two people. Just shot Dr. Langley back on the airstep.
Yeah? Why don't you blast him?
I guess I'll have to. He doesn't want to come out. Otis, crawl over about 12 feet and make him shoot.
Me?
Yeah, I want to get a good line on him. He's behind those oil drums, and I've got to stand up to do it.
Oh, all right. Hey, Diamond, now?
Yes, Otis, now. Okay, like I said, you're the boss.
I've been hit.
Come on, Otis.
Good shooting.
Glad you like it. Well, how about you, Professor?
I'm not happy. I got all three of them.
He won't be around long.
Why did you hit me, and why did you kill the doctor?
I wanted the bag. I thought the jewels were in it.
Aren't they?
No, I opened it back here. I thought the doctor was double-crossing me.
Well, if you ain't got the jewels, why'd you try to kill the old lady?
I didn't.
Oh, come on. This ain't no time to lie.
He isn't lying, Otis. You told me yourself his alibi was good.
Hey, that's right. Then who did?
The one who would benefit most by the death of the woman. The one who had a perfect setup because two con artists could be blamed for it. Let's go.
Yeah, what about this guy? How do you feel, Professor?
Oh. Like I said, Otis, you keep. Come on, let's go.
Well, hello, Mr. Diamond. You come to see the bathing suit?
I hope it comes in stripes.
What?
This is Sergeant Otis. Homicide.
Homicide? Has someone been killed?
Your aunt.
Oh, no.
Isn't that touching, Sergeant?
Yeah.
But that horrible doctor. We've got to arrest him.
Why would he want to do it?
Why, for the jewels, of course.
Now, put your hat on. You must have known that the doctor was going to get the jewels tonight, so you killed your aunt, knowing he'd get there and wouldn't have an alibi.
Why, you're insane.
The trouble was, he got so scared he ran off without him. So he had no motive.
But it was the professor.
Strike two. He didn't have them either.
You're crazy. You can't prove a thing. I didn't stab my aunt.
Who said she was stabbed?
Well, I just...
Something else tipped me to you. The minute I took a good look at your aunt, I knew it couldn't have been a man who'd done the job.
Why not? You're just presuming.
Because there were no signs of a struggle. Your aunt must have known the killer pretty well.
She knew the doctor very well.
Well enough to meet him with a towel around her head and her wig in plain sight on the dresser?
What?
Yeah. And I got in touch with a lawyer, and he said you was the sole heir to the estate.
Were, Sergeant.
Oh, yeah. You were the sole heir, and I'm arresting you because I were there and saw the wig.
Wasn't it fun at the fortune teller's?
Yeah, he's going to have to think up a new racket. Like contacting the living.
What?
No, forget it. What's to eat?
I'll go look in the icebox.
Bring some milk, will you, dear?
Mm-hmm. If you'll play something.
I'll try.
Oh, no, not again!
Oh, swell. Can't you get on the night shift or something?
I can't get anything around here, especially sleep. Now, please, will you kindly shut your big fat face?
What do you mean? I haven't sung anything yet.
Oh, but you will. I just know you will.
Well, if you insist.
Oh, no. Please. I'm a nervous man.
Oh, it calms you right down.
Don't blame me for falling in love with you. I'm under your spell, but how can I help it? Don't blame me. Can't you see when you do the things you do? If I can't conceal the thrill that I'm feeling, don't blame me.
Oh, that's pretty. Don't stop.
Oh, I must. Food looks too good.
Did I hear you talking to someone?
Mm-hmm. Listen.
Don't blame me for falling in love with you.
I don't hear anything.
Oh, that's funny. He was there a minute ago.
Don't blame me for falling in love with you.
I still don't hear anything. Rick, who are you calling?
Sergeant Otis. I'm afraid the guy next door just cut his throat.
Just heard Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Helen was played by Virginia Gregg. Also in our cast were Wilms Herbert, Ted Osborne, Peggy Weber, and Jack Crucian. Music was under the direction of Frank Worth. Richard Diamond is written by Blake Edwards and directed by Richard Sandville. And now, Dick Powell.
Friends, I want to remind you of the wonderful group of programs NBC has on tap for tomorrow afternoon and evenings. Shows like Hollywood Calling, Guy Lombardo, Four Star Playhouse, and The Ethel Merman Show. For the best in radio listening tomorrow and always, keep your dial turned to your favorite NBC station.
Dick Powell soon will be seen in the screen version of the best-selling novel, Mrs. Mike. Now, this is Eddie King inviting you to be with us again at the same time next week when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. This program has come to you from Hollywood. Theater Guild on the Air returns tomorrow night on NBC.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour. We broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with subscriptions available for free through iTunes. The next episode we present is a bit of an inside joke. The mysterious guest star is Dick Powell's wife, June Allison. Audiences at the time would have recognized her distinctive voice, so I'm filling you in on the joke. Twists and turns of the plot will be easy to follow. Enjoy Richard Diamond, Private Detective, Mrs. X Can't Find Her Husband. First broadcast, June 14th, 1950, on NBC.
Listen while the makers of Rexall drug products and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Good evening. This is your Rexall family druggist, speaking to you for the 10,000 independent druggists who have made the word Rexall part of our own store names, and who recommend and sell the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company. Like MI-31, for example, Rexall's popular mouthwash, gargle, and breath deodorant. Full-strength MI-31 kills contacted germs in seconds. Its zippy, tangy quality leaves a happy aftertaste. For a reliable yet refreshing mouthwash, use Rexall MI-31. And remember, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. Now your Rexall family druggist brings you a transcribed half hour with Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Dick's special guest star tonight is what was your name again?
I'm sorry, but I really can't tell you.
You can't tell me? Well, Rexall brings you Richard Diamond, starring Dick Powell.
Well, morning, Mr. Diamond.
Morning, Charlie. Now, fix me something, will you?
Like that, huh? You look pretty good.
You should have seen me when I got up. Both my heads were hissing each other.
I'll fix you my special. You snap right out of it.
Well, take it easy. I tried snapping out of it this morning and scattered myself all over the room.
You relax for a minute. Just getting to work?
Yeah. Helen gave a party last night. I think it turned out to be the finals of the roller derby. Ever swallow a roller skate, Charlie?
Once on a dare, a mouse.
Oh.
Sorry.
Charlie!
Gotta mix it.
Oh, that's a horrible machine to have in a bar. Some poor guy's liable to end up with shell shock.
Here, hold your breath so you don't change your mind.
What's in it?
In your condition, that is a very touchy question. You just drink it, you'll feel better.
Okay.
No fudging all the way.
Charlie!
All the way? What are you, chicken?
Oh, I knew it, You snitched this stuff from a fire extinguisher.
Tastes terrible, don't it?
What are you going to thaw me out with, a chisel?
Now I know it ain't that bad.
No? A mortician would pay good money for the formula.
Well, look what came in the front door.
Hmm? Oh, yes, sir.
Pardon me, but I'm looking for someone.
There's nobody here but me and Mr. Diamond.
Here's a picture of him. Has he been in here?
Oh, lady, a lot of people come in here.
No, I mean this morning.
Mr. Diamond's my first customer.
Oh.
Something wrong, miss?
I've just got to find him. I don't know where to look.
What made you think he'd be in here?
I'm trying every place that's open. I lost him in this block someplace.
Lost him?
Well, he just disappeared.
Who is he?
My husband.
Oh.
I stopped to look at some hats in the window. Started talking about how pretty they were, and the next thing I turned around and he was gone.
You called home?
We're living at a hotel. He hasn't shown up there. I've called everyone I know in New York.
You're from out of town?
Yes. Oh, I'm so worried.
Well, honey, from this picture, your husband looks old enough to find his way around. Why don't you go on back to the hotel and...
You don't understand. My husband had quite a shock earlier this morning, and he was acting strangely.
So you figure he might have gone looking for a drink?
I don't know what I thought. It isn't like him to wander off like that. I'm so worried.
Well, if you're that upset, why don't you go to the law? Missing persons.
Oh, I thought about that, but I can't.
You can't go to the police?
I can't explain why. It just wouldn't be good.
Would you mind a completely new remark?
What?
Haven't I seen you before, Miss...
No.
Nice name.
Mr. Diamond sees a lot of people. Used to be a cop himself.
Oh.
Private detective now.
Private detective?
Seems to me I've seen your husband someplace before, too. Is this an old picture?
Yes, I carry it around in my wallet. Are you really a private detective, Mr....
Diamond, Miss...
Like Sam Spade?
Well, no, no. Sam drinks and runs around with women. I lead a rather sheltered life. Steady, Charlie.
Mr. Diamond, I'm really frightened. I'm sure something awful's happened to my husband. Will you help me?
I might, if you tell me two things.
What are they?
Why you can't go to the police, and if you can afford $100 a day in expenses.
Oh, I can afford the money.
You should have answered the first question first. Now I'm almost tempted to forget the last one.
But I can't go to the police.
Dear, when people can't go to the police, it worries me. Your old man got a record or something?
A record?
Well, I've seen both of you someplace. You sure you aren't working some kind of a racket?
Oh.
Oh, now, lady, take it easy.
I lose my husband. I come in here for help, and you think I'm some sort of a criminal or something.
Look, dear,
I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't want to go to the police, and it has nothing to do with breaking the law.
Shame on you, Diamond. Here, lady, here's a handkerchief.
Thank you.
Look, I'm sorry.
No, you're not. You're terrible.
Oh, please, please. Look, I'm in pretty bad shape myself. Okay, I'll help you.
Wonderful, Mr. Diamond. Where can we talk?
Hey, she turns them off like a hydrant.
You'll help me?
Oh, yes. $100 a day in expenses.
Certainly.
Get her.
Yeah. You sure you didn't dip into one of Charlie's specials?
I don't drink.
This isn't drinking. It's like diving into an active volcano.
Where can we talk?
One of the booths.
Good. I don't want anyone else to know about this.
You mean after this buildup, I ain't even going to hear what it's all about?
Come on, dear.
Oh.
Relax, Charlie. Have one of your specials. Who knows? You may be the first one to reach the moon.
Is this booth all right, Mr. Diamond?
Just fine. Now sit down, dear, and tell me all about it.
Well, there's really not much to tell. I took my husband to the... Well, to an appointment this morning.
What kind of an appointment?
I can't tell you.
And you can't tell me your husband's name?
No.
Not even his first name?
Well, I guess I could tell you his first name. It's Richard.
Richard?
Yes.
You can't tell me anymore?
No.
You want me to find him and you want me to trust you?
If you will.
Will you trust me?
Yes.
Then I'll try and find Richard, but I'll need some help.
I'll try.
No, please. I'll need some outside help.
Who?
A policeman.
Oh, no, I told you.
And I told you. You want me to trust you? Okay, that's what I'm going to do, but you got to trust me, too.
But the police...
If you and your husband aren't in trouble with the police, you got nothing to worry about.
But the police...
Not the police, a policeman, one man.
But he'll find out why Richard disappeared.
Well, don't you want to know why?
I know why, but I don't want anyone else to know why.
You don't want anyone else... You know why, but you... Oh, don't let me do this to myself.
I just want to find him.
Okay. I promise the policeman won't say anything. I'm trusting that you have a good reason for not telling me any more than you have, but to find a man, this man in the picture, and an old photograph at that, to find this man needs a lot of doing. Checking hospitals.
Hospitals?
Now, don't start crying.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go on.
When you've got to check hospitals, morgue...
Morgue!
Look, dear. You wait here.
No, I'm going with you.
Good girl.
Charlie, thank you for being so patient.
A pleasure, miss.
Shall we go, Mr. Diamond?
Yeah. And Charlie.
Yeah?
I'd like to thank you, too.
Anytime.
Your hospitality and good manners are only equaled by your loyalty and perspicacity.
Huh?
All in all, you've been a living doll. Being a person who lives out in left field most of the time myself, I realize that these little disturbances in my life were pretty average. So with cute little Anonymous tagging along behind, I left Charlie's fancy bistro and headed for the 5th Precinct Police Station and the good Lieutenant Levinson. When we walked into the squad room, we bumped right into the one thing that science had been working 24 hours a day to find a cure for. Well, good afternoon, Sergeant Otis.
Oh, how are you, Diamond? Hey...
Oh, unpucker, Otis. Mrs. X will think the lieutenant uses you to unstop sinks.
Mrs. X? What kind of a name is that?
You want to meet the lady? That's the name.
Mrs. X?
How do you do, Sergeant?
Oh. Hey, ain't I seen you someplace before?
Otis, haven't I seen you someplace before?
Now, what are you talking about, Shama? Sure you've seen me before.
Mr. Diamond.
Yeah, but this is nothing. Stick around him for a whole day sometime. Come on, let's see the lieutenant.
I'll see you later, Mrs.
Yes, Sergeant. It's been a pleasure.
Otis.
Yeah?
Your eyes are hanging out so far they cover your badge.
Oh.
Hello, Walt.
Hi, Rick. I'm...
Yeah. This is Mrs. X, Walt. Dear, this is the mighty arm of the law, Lieutenant Levinson.
How do you do, Lieutenant?
How do you do, Mrs. X?
Oh, let's not go into this thing again. The young lady prefers to be known as Mrs. X. Now, Walt, I want you to do me a favor.
Yeah, young lady, haven't I seen you
someplace before? Yeah, Walt, even Otis is with us on that one. I said the same thing when she found me in Charlie's bar. Now, the young lady's lost her husband, and I'm going to help her find him. Here's his picture. See if you got anything.
Oh, yeah. Are you sure I haven't seen you?
Walt, we'll solve that one later. The picture. Go make like a policeman.
Okay. She got a record.
Lieutenant.
I never forget a face.
He's been trying to ever since he got Otis. Now, come on, Walt. Get a report for missing persons. Check the hospitals and the morgue.
The morgue.
Lady,
it's a habit. Honey, we gotta do these things just in case.
But you think he's...
Give me that picture. Lady, please. Now, what's your husband's name?
She can't tell you that, Walt.
What do you mean she can't tell me that?
I can't.
Now, you look, Diamond, if this is one
His
of your...
His first name is Richard.
Richard what?
That's something I really can't tell you. I wouldn't have told Mr. Diamond the Richard part, but it... Just sort of slipped out.
No way. What are you two trying to do to me? You come in here and ask me to locate this guy in the picture and you won't even tell me his last name?
Look, Walt, I promise you'll do me the favor without the questions. The young lady seems to have a very good reason for not wanting to give her name or her husband's. Now, all I want you to do is check the morgues.
What's the matter with her?
She wants her husband.
Yes, I want my husband.
Before we continue with the adventures of Richard Diamond, private detective, here's your Rexall family druggist.
It's always a pleasure when a customer herself tells you why she likes your product. And last week one said to me...
You know why I really prefer Rexall Milk of Magnesia? It's because one bottle won't be so thick I can't even pour it, and then the next one thin and watery. Somehow Rexall Milk of Magnesia always seems to be just right.
Well, ma'am, that's because every bottle of Rexall Milk of Magnesia has to meet an exacting standard of viscosity, or it can't wear the Rexall label.
What do you mean by viscosity?
It's the degree of thickness or pourability in a liquid. Rexall conducts scientifically precise tests on every batch of Rexall Milk of Magnesia to be sure it meets this constant standard of viscosity. And that's not done just to please you with its consistency. What's much more important... It means you'll always get uniform dosage from every bottle of Rexall Milk of Magnesia.
And I thought it was all an accident.
Oh, no, ma'am. There are no accidents behind the fact. You can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
And now back to tonight's adventure with Richard Diamond, private detective, starring Dick Powell.
Well, I checked, and no one that looks like this guy is in any of the more, usual places.
Well, that's fine. Now let's start looking for him where I lost him, Mr. Diamond.
Oh, swell. Well, Walt, we really just stopped by to say hello. Killing time, you know.
Sure.
I appreciate everything you've done, Captain.
Lieutenant.
Of course. Thank you very much. But now Mr. Diamond and I have to go and find my husband.
Richard.
Yes.
I think you'd better wait a few minutes.
What for?
Yes, we've got to hurry. I've got to find my husband before the 8 o'clock plane leaves this evening.
You're leaving tonight?
You didn't tell me that.
Well, Richard has to be in California by tomorrow morning.
Got a little job to do?
A very big job, Captain.
Lieutenant.
Well, what do you want us to wait for?
Because I've got Otis checking on this girl, this Mrs. X.
Oh, no.
Walt, you promised.
I promised nothing. You assumed.
Oh, you're a fine buddy.
Buddy schmuddy. You might be taken in by her sweet innocence, but not me.
You double-crossed
Mr. Diamond, you promised.
But I didn't, lady. I just checked the morgues.
Oh,
now you shut up.
Walt.
Well, I never.
I've seen this girl someplace, Rick, and I've got a sneaking suspicion she's wanted.
Wanted?
You can't cross me like this, Fatty.
Wanted?
Won't tell me your name, huh?
No.
Won't tell me your husband's name, huh?
No.
Then you're hiding something.
Yes.
Yes?
Y-E-S, meaning of course.
Now you stop that, Rick.
Rick, is your name Richard, too, Mr. Diamond?
No, my friends call me Rick.
You ever in Chicago, lady?
Of course.
Of course.
O-F-C-O-U-R-S-E.
You meaning... stay out of this. You run around with Tony Capone when you were in Chicago?
You talking to me?
I'm talking to her.
Well, I'm glad. Tony never gave me back my elk's tooth.
Well, I don't know why you're talking to me, Captain. I never gave Mr. Capone an elk's
no.
tooth.
No.
It's Lieutenant there. You got to stop promoting him. You'll get a swell head.
Oh, you rat!
You call me Lieutenant?
No!
Gee, don't scare me like that. I got something on this picture you gave me.
Her husband?
Yeah. Hello, Mrs. X.
Hello, Corporal.
Otis.
Oh, yeah. You won't like it, Lieutenant.
I won't like what?
What I got on this picture.
Something's happened to Richard.
Now, take it easy.
Well, what did you find out? I'll tell you whether I like it or not.
Well, I sent it down to the boys in the morgue.
No!
No!
Oh, look what you've done, you mallet head.
Well, gee, what did I say?
You said morgue.
No.
Now, honey, listen. This morgue is where they keep photographs.
Oh.
Well, what did they come up with, Sergeant?
She sure looks pretty when she cries like that.
Otis.
Well, I shall quote from the report. Person in said photograph resembles one Richard Diamond, private detective.
What did you say?
Come to think of it, you do, Mr. Diamond.
I shall continue. Member of the New York police force for 7 years. Height 6'1". 190.
80.
The general conformation of the head. Note. Right ear...
Order, shut up!
Oh, it gets real interesting. You didn't tell me about getting mixed up with that fan dancer back in 39, Diamond.
I was simply interested in starting an ostrich farm. Otis.
Yeah?
Do you think that picture looks like Mr. Diamond?
Kinda.
Thank you, Patrolman Lovelow.
Patrolman?
Yes, and if I ever catch you wearing a sergeant's stripes again, I'll put you on a beat so far out that I have to fly food into you. Now get out of here.
Sergeant Levinson.
Lady, please, it's Lieutenant.
Well, I don't care what it is. I think you were just horrible to that nice little policeman.
Is that right?
It certainly is. And I'm going to write a letter to the governor about you.
Now, wait a minute.
And what's more, I'm going to tell him what a horrible, mean, impolite person you are.
But...
I come in here with Mr. Diamond, and simply because I won't tell you my name, you accuse me of being a mop.
Mop?
Yes, mop. One of those gangsters' girls.
Mal.
Yes. And just because everyone thinks they've seen me before, I'm accused of all sorts of things.
But, lady, I...
No telling what's happened to my poor, wonderful husband.
Oh, lady, please, lady.
You big bully.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Can Sergeant Loveloon have his stripes back?
Yes.
No, thank you very much. Come on, Mr. Diamond. We've got to find Richard. Goodbye, Major.
Well, I was in it up to my neck. Any other time, a client like Mrs. X would have scared me right into 4 months of hibernation. But she was such a cute little screwball that I just had to go along with it. We took the picture that looked something like yours truly and started making the rounds. Starting with the last place Mrs. X had seen her husband, we showed the picture to every shop owner within a 4-block circle, but no one had seen him. Mrs. X kept checking with the hotel, making me stay at a good distance so I couldn't hear the conversation. But no one had seen her husband. We ended up right back where I first ran into her. Charlie's.
Wow. Find him?
No.
Look, dear, why don't you check again with this place that you and your husband went to this morning for his business appointment? Maybe you went back there.
Well, I guess I could try it again.
Phone in the back on the wall.
Thanks, I'll call him.
No luck, Diamond?
No. How will I get into these things, Charlie?
When someone wants to give you $100 a day in expenses, you get into them. Phone.
Brilliant deduction.
Hello?
A little lady will get it. Mm.
Mr. Diamond?
Yeah?
It's for you. Captain Levinson.
You've been promoted?
Several times in the last hour.
You think he's heard something about Richard?
Might be. Yeah, what is it, Fatty?
I thought you might be there.
What made you think of Charlie's?
Well, it's pretty obvious you had a hangover.
Well, maybe I stuck a bicycle pump in my nose and pumped up my head just to get a laugh out of Otis. You'll have to do better than that.
You told me you met the girl at Charlie's.
Shrewd, shrewd.
Is it something important?
Honey, just relax. I'm getting to it.
But if it's about Richard...
The girl there?
Yeah. What's on your mind?
Well, I don't know if it means anything, but we just got a report from the Johnson Sanatorium.
Johnson Sanatorium? Never heard of it.
Over on 84th Street.
The missing husband?
I don't know. The report fitted his description, but who knows from that old photograph.
Well, it's worth checking. What's the address?
644 East 84th Street. Seems they found this guy wandering around the streets.
Johnson Sanatorium, 644 East 84th Street, huh? Did he give his name?
Amnesia. Loss of memory. Seemed to be suffering from shock. Thought I'd let you get there first. Felt kind of sorry for the girl when I realized the story might be kosher.
Okay, Walt, I'll check it. Thanks.
Meet you there.
Well, honey, that might be... Hey. Hey. Charlie.
Yeah?
Mrs. X, where'd she go?
Took out of here like she was shot out of a gun. Something wrong?
When are you going to stop asking stupid questions? Well, that tore it. Mrs. X was probably on her way over to the Johnson Sanatorium and with a good head start. So I went out and grabbed a cab for 84th Street and kicked myself a dozen times for getting mixed up in a situation like that. Why not forget the whole thing and get some rest until my head returned to a normal circumference? Answer. Because I'd wasted a whole afternoon looking for the missing husband and hadn't even got a retainer.
Yes, sir? Is something I can do for you, perhaps?
I'm looking for the man you reported as...
Hello, Rick.
Oh, Walt. Have you seen Mrs. X?
I just this minute got her. She's been and gone.
What about the guy you got the report on?
Took him with her.
The young lady came in, took a look at the man, claimed it was her husband, paid his bill and left.
You let him go like that? I thought the man had amnesia.
Well, yes, he was suffering from some kind of shock and had temporarily lost his memory.
But you just let him walk out of here with...
Rick, let him finish your story. Hmm.
The minute the man saw the young lady, he snapped right out of it. She said they had to hurry to catch a plane or something, had a lot of packing to do.
Did she give her name?
Yes, he signed the release.
Here, let me see it.
Now, take it easy, Rick. It's signed Mrs. Richard Diamond.
She used my name?
Is that your name?
You're darn right it is. She leave any address?
Phony, I checked.
Oh, swell.
I'll cover the airports if it'll make you happy.
Oh, it'll make me very happy. She did nothing for my hangover. She didn't pay me one red cent for my trouble, and I think I may be getting hives. Oh, I'm going over to Helen's and have a complete nervous breakdown.
How do you feel now?
Oh, I'm all right, Helen, dear, but my ulcers just had a parade.
Any word from Walt?
No.
Miss Helen?
Yes, what is it, Francis?
A young lady at the door for Mr. Diamond.
I'll get it.
I'll bet you will.
Wow.
Hello, Mr. Diamond.
Now, look, I've got something to say
to you. I can't stop to talk. My husband's waiting in the car, and we have to catch a plane.
Now, you look,
I want to thank you very much for all you've done, and I want to apologize for running out on you.
But your husband...
He's fine, thank you. He just lost his memory for a while.
Now, I'm not...
I haven't got time to tell you anymore. We've got to catch a plane.
But you...
Oh, I said that. Here's an envelope.
But I...
It explains everything, and there's something in it for you.
But you can't...
And here's something else, because you've been so wonderful.
But...
I hope if you ever get to California, you'll look us up. Goodbye, and thank you again for everything. You're wonderful. Bye.
Well?
Hmm?
All right, Blue Eyes. What was that all about?
Hmm? Oh. No, that was her. She. The girl.
The girl?
Mrs. X.
What's that?
Hmm? Oh, it's an envelope. Said it would explain everything.
I hope it does. Especially that fond farewell.
Oh, that. She was just being grateful.
Yeah. Go on, open the envelope.
Pardon, Miss Helen. Now it's the phone. Lieutenant Levinson for Mr. Diamond.
I better tell him about the girl.
You'd better read what's in that envelope.
Hello, Walt.
Rick, that dame phoned Otis. Asked where she could find you.
Oh, that's how she found the place.
Yeah, the melonhead told her you might be over at Helen's. Gave her... She's been there?
Just left. And she left an envelope that she said would explain everything.
Well, what did it say?
I haven't read it.
Well, read it. I want to know what this is all about.
So does Helen.
Well?
Well?
$500.
The explanation?
What about the letter?
Well, it says, Dear Mr. Diamond, I know that I've caused you a great deal of trouble, so I wish to take this opportunity
to thank you for your patience and understanding. As for an explanation, well, here it is. But I count on your discretion and hope that you will keep my secret. This morning, my husband and I went to a doctor because I hadn't been feeling well. We discovered and were overjoyed to find out that I was going to have a baby. Immediately, I informed my husband that I had decided to give up working until after I had the baby. The realization that I wasn't going to make any more money for the rest of the year was too much for him. The shock made him lose his mind, and he just wandered off. Although he has recovered his memory, the thought of having to support us both for the rest of the year has left him nervous and despondent. So I am taking him back to the coast to the family psychiatrist.
I wish to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all your kindness and help. Signed,
Sign who?
Rick!
Helen, what's wrong?
He's fainted.
What?
He looked at the signature on the letter and just flopped over.
Well, what about the signature?
It's signed, June Allison.
Again, here's your Rexall family druggist.
Whenever you have a headache, remember this about Rexall aspirin. When taken with water, the 5 full grains of pure aspirin in every Rexall tablet are ready to go to work for you even before they reach your stomach. Yes, whenever you have a headache, remember that about Rexall aspirin. Ask for it at Rexall drugstores everywhere. And remember always, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. Richard Diamond, Private Detective, stars Dick Powell in the title role and is written by Blake Edwards with music composed and conducted by Frank Worth. June Allison appeared through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and will soon be seen co-starring with Dick Powell in the MGM motion picture Right Cross. Featured in tonight's cast were Virginia Gregg, Ted DeCorsia, Wilms Herbert, and Bob Sweeney. Richard Diamond, Private Detective, was transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle. This is Bill Foreman inviting you to be with us next Wednesday at this time when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Hiya, beautiful.
Get lost, Bristlepuss. You need a shave.
But I have shaved. What else do you want me to do?
Silly boy, she wants you to go Stag.
Go Stag? But why?
Because Stag is Rexall's exclusive line of men's good grooming aids, like Stag Brushless Shave Cream. No fuss, no massage, just smooth it on, and presto, you get a clean, close shave. Your face stays smooth and whiskerless all day long.
I'll do it. I'll go Stag.
That's it. Join the Stag line now at Rexall drugstores everywhere.
Yes, to make girls care. Go Stag.
Bill Bendix leads The Life of Riley again Friday on NBC.
That was a fun way to announce to the public that Dick Powell and his wife June Allison had a baby on the way. Richard Powell Jr. would be born in December of 1950. June Ellison had to give up a role opposite Fred Astaire in Royal Wedding because of her pregnancy. Thank you so much for joining us this week on the Old Time Radio Hour. Each week, we bring the golden age of radio to our listeners, and we appreciate your attention. Next week, we will find you a different type of detective, someone a bit more hard-boiled. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.